Welcome, everyone. It's so good to see each one of you here. What a blessing to be together. It's wonderful to be able to see the mountains, isn't it, for a couple days here. I'm particularly thankful for that. Having a little bit of lung problems for the last 6 weeks, and I think part of it was smoke. And so, yeah, that kind of gets to you after a while. And so we appreciate God, the great climate changer, clearing the air. And I just want to express thanks for those who called and said that they were praying for us. We really appreciated that. Sharon is definitely feeling a lot better. And I know everyone else in the chapel who is struggling with COVID appreciated everyone's prayers as well. And so thank you for that. And we'll all get better because the Lord is good, and we're going to just keep trusting Him, right? I really appreciated the songs this morning, Jeff. Thank you for that. It was a blessing to me. I think it's the Holy Spirit. One of the songs, I think it's number 133 in the Blue Book, mentioned the three aspects, names of God that we actually talked about this morning in the breaking of bread. Different ones shared. Elohim, the I Am, the great I Am, and then the risen Savior, Christ, the risen Lamb. And so that was kind of a blessing, just to encourage Jeff and his choice of songs there. So today's passage is Hebrews chapter 5, beginning at verse 11, if you'd like to turn there. I just before I read that passage, I'm going to read a verse here. The title of the sermon today is Dull of Hearing. Kind of an exciting title, isn't it? And I too, like Jeff mentioned, I too relate to this. When we lived in Romania, we had a missionary friend who was trying to teach me. He had been there in the country for some time, and he was trying to teach me about the dangers of the doing business in a black market economy, a communist country, basically, because it had just switched from, they had just gotten their freedom. Anyway, I got the title, Slow Learner, and it's interesting, this phrase, dull of hearing, is translated slow of learning in the NIV. Every time I would make a blunder and lose another $100 to some scam, he would come to the house and try once again to teach Nate what he needed to do in this culture. And he would say, Nate, you're a slow learner. Yeah, he got fairly frustrated with me, but I learned. Finally, I think, and God brought much blessing out of that experience. I won't go into that any further. This is a dull of hearing is something that's not new, and I don't suggest that you study your Bible this way, but this morning I just opened my Bible to stuff my notes in the Bible. And my eyes fell on this verse in Jeremiah chapter 11. So I'm just going to read this just to show you how this whole problem of not listening well is goes way back. So the Lord said to me, Jeremiah, proclaim all these words in the cities of Judah and in the streets of Jerusalem, saying, hear the words of this covenant and do them. For I solemnly warned your fathers in the day that I brought them up from the land of Egypt, even to this day, warning persistently, saying, listen to my voice. Yet they did not obey or incline their ear, but walked each one in the stubbornness of his evil heart. Therefore I brought on them all the words of this covenant, which I commanded them to do, but they did not. And so, yeah, I just, when I read that, I thought, wow, it's the same subject as we have here in our text today in Hebrews chapter 5 and 6. And this is an introduction to a very serious warning that Peter will cover next week in chapter 6. So let's just read the text here, Hebrews chapter 5. Follow along here as we read. Verse 11. Concerning him, we have much to say, and it is hard to explain since you have become dull of hearing. For though by this time you ought to be teachers, you have need again for someone to teach you the elementary principles of the oracles of God. And you have come to need milk and not solid food. For everyone who partakes only of milk is not accustomed to the word of righteousness, for he is an infant. But solid food is for the mature, who because of practice have their senses trained to discern good and evil. Therefore, leaving the elementary teaching about the Christ, let us press on to maturity, not laying again a foundation of repentance from dead works and of faith toward God, of instruction about washings and laying on of hands and the resurrection of the dead and eternal judgment. And this we will do if God permits. Let's pray together. Father, we just ask you to bless your word today, the message of the writer to the Hebrews, to a people who needed to wake up and listen to the wonderful truths that this writer had to share. And so, Lord, we want to be alert and awake and listening to your voice, and we trust you this morning just to speak to us through your word. We just asked that this would be a great blessing and an encouragement in each one of our lives, Lord. And we pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. And so, did you notice a bit of frustration? This writer, the writer of the book of Hebrews, wants to continue the teaching about Christ as our great high priest, the high priest according to the order of Melchizedek. That's what he's saying here in verse 11 concerning him. He wants to continue that teaching, and in fact, he will continue that teaching for at least three more chapters when he's done with his warning. And so, but he has to take a time out to talk to these people that he's writing to. You know, the subject of the great high priest, I just wrote here, it's an amazing subject. In Christ alone our hope is found. That's a line from a hymn that we sing sometimes. A hope we have as an anchor of the soul, both sure and steadfast. That's chapter 6 of Hebrews, verse 19. And here's another little, a taste of what is going to come when the writer gets back onto the subject that he wants to cover. Jesus' priesthood continues forever. He is able to save forever those who draw near to God through him, since he always lives to make intercession for them. That's chapter 7, verse 25. These are the things that he wants to be sharing, but they were dull of hearing. That phrase literally means numbed in their apprehension. They were not taking in they were not taking in the teaching, and so he must give this warning. You know, this is a desperate spiritual condition that these people were in. That the writer feared that their hearts were being hardened. That's chapter 3, verses 7 and 8. He warned them in chapter 3, "Take care, brethren, that there not be in any one of you an evil, unbelieving heart that stands aloof." A lot of translations say falls away. The Greek word there means to stand aloof, to stand away, never having believed, actually. He's talking to ones who have not yet trusted Christ in that verse. They stood aloof from the living God. And then he warns them again in chapter 2, verses 1 to 3. And that ends with, "How will we escape if we neglect so great a salvation?" The word neglect there literally means without care. In our vernacular, the modern day, today we would say, they could care less. And this is a very tragic place to be. And so the writer is going to give this very strong warning. In order to understand these warnings, we must be careful to point out that the Hebrews to whom this writer is writing were both true believers, but also many of them were just mere professors who had never really embraced Christ as their Savior. They had heard much about the relationship between the Old Covenant and the New Covenant, the Old Testament and the New Testament. And that's really what the book of Hebrews is about. It's a detailed, isn't it, explanation of the relationship of Christ to what took place in the Old Testament. They had heard this much, over and over, but they were not hearing it. They were not listening. They were not appropriating it. I wrote here, these people had a great advantage over many because they had been entrusted with the oracles of God, as it says in our, if you look at the text here in verse 12. He says, "For though by this time you ought to be teachers, you have need again for someone to teach you the elementary principles." This is the ABCs, the very elementary principles of the meaning, for instance, of the Old Testament sacrifices, the blood sacrifices. What did they mean? They had heard this stuff, but they had never really understood how it related to Christ. And so, to turn for just a moment here to Romans chapter, Paul talks about this in Romans chapter 3, and I'm just going to read this. This is just a good background for these people that we're talking about today. Paul says in Romans 3, 1, "Then what advantage has the Jew, or what is the benefit of circumcision? Great in every respect. First of all, that they were entrusted with the oracles of God. What then? If some did not believe, their unbelief will not nullify the faithfulness of God, will it? May it never be. Rather, let Christ be found true, though every man be found a liar, as it is written, that you may be justified in your words and prevail when you are judged." And so Paul is kind of laying a foundation in Romans there. It's kind of the same the same thought. And so these people had a tremendous advantage. They had the Old Testament. They understood things that a person who was not a Jew would have to be taught from the ground up. But these people had kind of been raised in that. And yet they had never allowed these Old Testament types and pictures to be their tutor to bring them to Christ. Remember, that was one of the things that Paul told the Galatians, and he was encouraging them not to go back to the Old Testament, but to move forward, and that's kind of the message here today. Let me read Galatians chapter 3, and you can turn there if you'd like. Galatians 3, starting at verse 23, Paul says, "But before faith came," this is faith in Christ, "we were kept in custody under the law, being shut up to the faith which was later to be revealed. Therefore, the law has become our tutor, our schoolmaster, to lead us to Christ, so that we may be justified by faith. But now that faith has come, we are no longer under a tutor." That's where these people are. They're right there in that verse. They're going back. They're not listening to the tutor of the Old Testament. Verse 26, "For you are all sons of God through faith in Christ Jesus." And so he's speaking to the Galatians here, whom I believe were believers, but they're the people that the writer to the Hebrews is writing to are, they're not listening to the schoolmaster. They didn't learn it. They flunked kindergarten. I hate to put it that way, but that's really what he's saying here. They didn't understand. So there's four results in the text here, four results of dullness of hearing or not listening. If you have an outline, you can kind of follow along here. It's in your bulletin. I just put some verses there that are the practical applications from these four points. But the first one is, they should have been teaching others. Instead, they needed someone to teach them the ABCs of the Old Testament, the Old Covenant again, and how it related to Christ. I find that one of the signs of true conversion is you want to share what you're learning with someone else. That is an exciting thing. We were just talking here a minute ago with a couple guys about Joel Dineny and his, he's done something like 60 Emmaus courses, I think. But he wants to share what he's learning with others, and he's become a kind of a inmate prison chaplain in the prison that he's in. Here's the practical application for us. 2 Timothy 2:2 says, "The things you have heard from me," Paul talking to Timothy, "entrust these to faithful men who will be able to teach others also." That was Paul's heart with everyone that he taught, was to encourage them to pass on what they learned. You know, Bill McDonald, in commenting on this verse in Hebrews here, he has a little statement that I think is good. Everyone teaching one. You know, I want to encourage all of us, when we learn something from God's Word, in our private devotions, in our fellowship at church, when we learn something, share it with someone. Drop a line to someone. You know, you got a smartphone. I can't use it, but you can. I'm pretty proud I just used a tablet, though, this week. And I actually typed a couple things on it and got the words right, too. And here's an encouragement to homeschool moms and dads. This is for you. Teach your children. Pass on to them what you've learned from God in your relationship with God. You know, that's one of the great blessings of homeschool. you grandparents. I'm so glad that we have some homeschool parents here today. I thought that'd be kind of a, you know, encouragement that would just kind of go out there. Bless you for what you're doing with your children. You grandparents who have children, homeschool children, some of you in your home quite often, this is for you. Entrust God's word, the things you learn, to your grandchildren as well. So, teach someone what you are learning from God's word. The second thing is their dullness of hearing resulted in their need again for milk, not solid food. They had so neglected the teaching that they had been given about the new covenant and about Christ that they couldn't even understand now how the Old Testament connected to the new, how Christ fulfilled the Old Testament. They were that dull of hearing. Philippians 4:9, this goes along with something that Jeff said. Here's the practical application. The things you have learned and received and heard and seen in me, Paul says, if you're a teacher, you better live it. That's what he's saying there. Practice these things and the God of peace will be with you. So put into practice the things you have learned and heard and seen. Teach. If you're discipling someone, teach them that verse. It's a very important verse. The third thing that I noticed that the text says, if you look at verse 13, 5:13, it says, "For everyone who partakes only of milk is not accustomed to the word of righteousness, for he is an infant." A better word there is immature. The Bible, and this is important when you're interpreting a text, the Bible uses different words in the New Testament, two different Greek words, for infants in Christ, baby Christians. Here, it is not the same word. And this is not talking, I believe, about a baby Christian. This, you'll notice, first of all, that the text does not say that he was an infant in Christ, okay? These people that the writer is writing to here did not even understand any connection between the Old Testament pictures and types of Christ and the New Testament. They did not understand their own law. You know, there are several interesting examples of this in the Gospels and in the book of Acts. I'm just going to mention the book of Acts first because we're going to look at a little bit of detail of what happened in the Gospels. Do you remember that Paul and Peter and I think all of those men in the book of Acts, they would go to the synagogue and they would reason with the Jews? Those are the Jews who are dull of hearing. Remember, Paul finally said, if you won't listen, I'm going to the Gentiles. This is the same group of people, and that was in the book of Acts. In the Gospels, Jesus had many conversations with these kind of people. People who were not listening, not understanding. Here's the tragedy was, they were the teachers of the day. They were the people who professed to know everything about the Old Testament. And Jesus said to them one day, "You err because you do not know the scriptures." You know, that must have hit them head on when he said that. And that's the problem. They were teachers, professed teachers, but they didn't understand the most basic things about the Old Testament. So here's just a couple things that Jesus said to them. Remember, they professed Abraham as their father. Jesus said to them, "If you are Abraham's children, do the deeds of Abraham." The inference in John chapter 8 is, if you believe in Abraham as your father, you would believe in me. He was the father of faith. And it actually says that right at the end of John chapter 8. Abraham rejoiced to see my day, and he saw it and was glad. He saw Christ off in the future as the Savior, and Abraham put his faith in God. He didn't understand much that we understand because we have the whole New Testament, but Abraham was God's man of faith. They professed to follow Moses. Jesus said to them, "Did not Moses give you the law, and yet none of you carries out the law?" See, when you're dull of hearing, like these people that we're talking about here today, you're not carrying out even the most simple truths that you profess in the Old Testament. Jesus finished that conversation in John chapter 8, verse 43. Jesus says to them, "Why can't you understand what I am saying? It is because you are unable to do so." You know, in the end of our passage here today, just look at verse 3 of chapter 6. The writer kind of connects that thought that Jesus just shared with what he's trying to tell these people. He says, "And this we will do. We will leave behind the elementary teaching. We will move forward, press on to maturity, if God permits." It's a work of God in the heart. It's the work of the Holy Spirit. Jesus said to the people that he was talking to right in these chapters in John, "No man can come to me unless the Father draws him." And it's a work of God. It's by the grace of God that these people, and perhaps I trust that some of them listened, some of them heard this message. It's a very strong warning, and turned to Christ. Lastly, they could not discern good from evil. That's verse 14. "But solid food is for the mature, who because of practice have their senses trained to discern good and evil." Do we not see this in our culture today? You know, there's just all kinds of practical. I think yesterday at the prophecy conference, I'm not sure who it was, but one of the, I think it was Amir read that verse in Isaiah that talks about you call evil good and good evil. And that's almost like a trademark of our culture today, the culture of this world. Listen to the news. Look around you. You know, there's a famine for the Word of God in our culture. That's why I'm encouraging you today and encouraging myself to share God's Word with others. They desperately need to hear this message. So these that the writer of Hebrews is writing to, they could not recognize the difference between right and wrong, because they had neglected the solid food of the Word of God. They desperately needed that relationship with Christ, which opens up the throne of grace. They needed to receive mercy and to find grace to help in time of need. These people were suffering, by the way, and I should mention that. You know, I don't want to appear today to be kind of like picking on them. These people were enduring a great conflict of suffering, but they needed Christ to go to in that suffering. That's what the writer is really trying. Don't go it alone without Jesus. It's a grave error. And so we need as well. I wrote here 1 Peter 2, 2 and 3. "Like newborn babies, crave pure spiritual milk, and I would add meat, so that by it you might grow up in your salvation, now that you have tasted that the Lord is good." And then the writer says, therefore, chapter 6, verse 1, and he's looking back and saying, considering your dullness of hearing and all of the results of that we just looked at, he says, leave. The word is a very strong word. It means abandon. It means forsake. Leave the ABCs of the old covenant. Leave that and press on to maturity. Embrace Christ and the magnificent truth of his person and work. And that's what the writer of Hebrews is taught. That's what he really wants to share with these people. The magnificence of Christ and his person, who he is, and the work that he accomplished. I want you to just note in verses 1 and 2 of Hebrews chapter 6 that these are all Old Testament phrases. And just for example, they're Old Testament concepts. And it's not that they're bad. I don't want you to get the idea that the writer is saying, you know, you just need to leave everything that you've heard about God and Old Testament truth and just leave that behind. He's saying, no, don't trust in that alone. Don't be so hung up on that you don't get the real message of Christ in the Old Testament. And so that's what he's really saying here. But the elementary teachings about Christ, that I got here in my notes, that equals Old Testament animal sacrifices picturing Christ's work. That's just one example. We could spend hours going through the Old Testament. But the elementary teaching, those are the Old Testament animal sacrifices. Don't be stuck there, the writer is saying. Abandon the blood sacrifices and press on to know the one who gave his own blood. That's the message of Hebrews. This wonderful high priest who through the eternal spirit offered himself to God without blemish. That's Hebrews chapter 9, verse 14. Just so we kind of get this settled in our mind, what the writer is telling these people is leave. Turn to Hebrews chapter 9. The verse I just quoted is verse 14, but I want you to read verse 13 with me here. Hebrews 9:13. It says, "For if the blood of goats and bulls and the ashes of a heifer sprinkling those who have been defiled sanctify for the cleansing of the flesh, how much more will the blood of Christ, who through the eternal Spirit offered himself without blemish to God, cleanse your conscience from dead works to serve the living God?" These are the dead works that the writer is talking about here in verse 1. They were stuck in verse 13, firmly planted there. The sacrifices were still going on in the temple. Titus had not sacked Jerusalem yet. These people were stuck in verse 13. They had never understood verse 14. And that's what the writer is trying to awaken them to. So the second thing and the third thing here that are mentioned, repentance from dead works and of faith toward God. These repentance from dead works are repenting from the sins. And in the Old Testament, this had to be done over and over and over again. That's what the book of Hebrews points out. The writer is saying, move away from that. There is a need now to believe in the name of Jesus for the forgiveness of sins. You know, this is why Jesus taught all through the Gospels, but very pointedly in John chapter 8, verse 24, Jesus said, "Unless you believe that I am, you will die in your sins." And these people in Hebrews here that the writer is writing to, they needed to make that transfer and they needed to believe in Christ, believe that he was the self-existent Jehovah God. And we need to believe that as well. Acts chapter 4, verse 12 says, "There is salvation in no one else, for there is no other name under heaven that has been given among men by which we must be saved." That is the consistent message of the book of Acts. Wherever you look, we must believe in Christ. The writer goes on to talk about instructions about washings. Some of your translations may say baptism, and that's actually a bad translation. This is not talking about baptism at all. It's talking about the ceremonial washings that the Jews were required to do in the book of Leviticus. It describes these, and the writer here is saying, leave that behind, the ceremonial washing, and move forward to Christ. You know, a great New Testament, we're not going to go there right now, but you can read this. A great New Testament reference to this is Titus chapter 3, verses 4 to 7. But these Hebrews needed to draw near to Christ with a sincere heart in full assurance of faith, having their hearts sprinkled clean from an evil conscience. Hebrews chapter 10 is the detailed explanation of where they needed to go here. Instead of being stuck with this Old Testament ceremonial washing, they needed to understand how Christ was the one who alone could sprinkle them clean. And so the laying on of hands is mentioned also in verse 2. This has nothing to do with New Testament laying on of hands. It only has to do with the Old Testament principle that's described again in Leviticus in several places. Leviticus chapter 1, verse 4 says this. This is the offerer who brings an animal to the temple, or the priest, in some cases, who would offer an animal for the people. He shall lay his hand on the head of the burnt offering, that it may be accepted for him to make atonement on his behalf. This is a beautiful picture of the substitutionary death of Christ. And that's what the writer to the Hebrews wants these people to understand. And again, that's in Hebrews chapter 10, explained in beautiful detail. And we're going to get to that as we go through the book of Hebrews. Leave, abandon the old, and trust in Christ. That's the message that is being taught here. The doctrines of resurrection and judgment are only fully explained in the New Testament. If you've ever tried to figure out the doctrine of resurrection and judgment from the Old Testament, you'll understand what I mean. We need the new. Jesus said, "I am the resurrection and the life," John chapter 11. John 5:22 says, "All judgment has been committed to the Son, that all may honor the Son even as they honor the Father." You know, the blessing for us and the blessing that was available to these Hebrews here is that tremendous truth in Romans 8:1. There is therefore now no condemnation for those who are in Christ Jesus. That's where we need to be. That's where this writer is trying to draw these people to. So the word, just in a summary, is leave the old behind, abandon it, forsake it, not because it's all bad, but because of its purpose was to teach us as a schoolmaster to bring us to Christ. So press on to maturity by embracing Christ. And verse 3 makes it very clear that this is not going to happen without the divine enablement of God. This is a work of God in the hearts of everyone who considers Christ, okay? You know, just in closing, I want to turn to the Gospel of Mark, chapter 1. Mark, chapter 1. The same word, leave, abandon. This is just a good, I think, practical application for all of us in our lives as we walk with Christ, just to remember this principle here. The same word, leave, abandon, forsake, is used in Mark chapter 1 a couple times here. I'm going to start reading just for the context, Mark chapter 1, verse 14. It says, now after John had been taken into custody, Jesus came into Galilee, preaching the gospel of God and saying, the time is fulfilled and the kingdom of God is at hand. Repent and believe in the gospel. You know, that's kind of what the writer to Hebrews is telling us today. We have the new. Christ has come. And here he is preaching the gospel. Repent and believe in the gospel. And then it says, as he was going along by the Sea of Galilee, he saw Simon and Andrew, the brother of Simon, casting a net in the sea, for they were fishermen. And Jesus said to them, follow me, and I will make you become fishers of men. I love this word. Immediately, they abandoned, left, forsook their nets, and followed him. That's the word. Going on a little further, he saw James, the son of Zebedee, and John, his brother, who were also in the boat mending the nets. Immediately, he called them, and they left. They abandoned, they forsook their father, Zebedee, in the boat. That must have been quite an experience. I love the Matthew video that reenacts that. If you've never seen that, get that video. It's a spectacular, I think, reenactment of the Gospel of Matthew. But it has that picture. They left, they abandoned, they forsook their father Zebedee in the boat with the hired servants and went away to follow him, Jesus. You know something, this is a practical application for me. I need to press on to maturity, to not get hung up on the old things that would draw me back. Leave the nets and the boat behind. Leave the business of this world behind and focus on the mission at hand. Be a fisher of men. That's what we want to be. Let's pray together. Father, we are so thankful that one day you called us, and by the grace of God alone, we heard your voice. And Lord, we want to be reminded this morning to continue to press on, to move forward towards maturity, and to have a focus on what Christ would have us do every moment of every day. God bless those who are teaching others, who are teaching their children. Lord, bless them. Help us all to look for someone. Help us to be fishers of men. Lord, I thank you for those in this room this morning that are actively fishing for men. What a blessing. Lord, help us all to do that, to make the most of every opportunity. And what joy there is, Lord, and will be, and maybe soon, when we are gathered together and we see Christ face to face. Lord, we just want to be your servants. Help us to press on today. I pray in Jesus' name. Amen.